you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now. Wake up!
Mike Mulligan.
Bears, football.
You know what? I'd like to say you're wrong, Molly, but you're not wrong very often.
David Haw.
That was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.
Bajan on the move to the pylon, and he is in for the touchdown!
We feel really good about all of our quarterbacks. You know, they really put... There's some good tape out there, and they've done a nice job.
I'm grateful. I'm excited. I'm here to work. I'm here to win games with the Chicago Bears and win games for the Chicago Bears.
One more knee will finish out the preseason, and all eyes will be on Caleb Williams in 17 days at Soldier Field.
And the pitch to Miguel. A swing and a drive. Deep left field. It's got a chance. Grand slam home run for Miguel Amaya.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Good Friday morning, Chicago. It's the Mully and Haw Show. Mully is off today. I'm David Haw here with you until 10 o'clock. And yes, the preseason is over. The preseason ended last night for the Chicago Bears, 34-21. Winners over the Kansas City Chiefs. In Kansas City, going to have a lot of fun breaking that game down today. A lot of fun drawing conclusions from what we saw, who we didn't see, and what's ahead. We are only 16 days away, 16 days from the beginning of a very special season in Chicago. You get that feeling. You get that feeling after watching the Bears' backups take care of the Chiefs' backups. And even though none of those backups may play major roles on this team in this fun season ahead, I still think there was a lot to talk about. And we will get to all of it. We've got a packed show. We've got Alex Kuhn in for Brandon Fryer. We've got Dustin Rhodes here, as usual. We'll be talking with them during the pick six. It'll be a lot of fun. We have Brad Biggs, 725. Coom is going to talk to us at 8. Jessica Blaylock from down south, South Florida. I want to know about the Marlins. I want to check in on Jake Berger and Skip Schumacher, the White Sox manager in waiting, maybe. We'll talk to her at 8:45. Dan Weeder and my partner from the Take the North podcast, which dropped an episode late last night. So if you want to check out the Take the North podcast, feel free. He is going to join us at 9 o'clock. And then 9:25, my buddy from Inside the Clubhouse, our baseball expert, Bruce Levine. We'll talk about what happened at Wrigley Field yesterday. Was there before the Bears game. Miguel Amaya going deep, back, Waveland Avenue. He was due. That was a special, fun moment as well. The grand slam, the Cubs win 10-2. About time they explode. And then just when we are ready to write them off, they score 10 runs. And then you're thinking, well, can they score 10 more today? And then 10 more tomorrow, and then sweep the Marlins, and then we'll get into all of that. But this is going to be a fun show talking about what we saw from the Bears, because this feels like the postgame show. I know Studs was in talking some Bears postgame. Studs was in full meatball mode. We did the podcast right around 10 o'clock, and he was already breaking down Reddy Steward and Micah Baskerville, and he had all the guys and all the things. So it will be a lot of fun because there were some observations. That wasn't a meaningless game, right, guys? I mean, you saw things, Dustin and Alex, you saw things that mattered to this team this season. Maybe you don't want them to matter as much, but because these are backups who you don't want to necessarily see thrust into roles. But there were some things that will affect the roster decisions which are due over the weekend.
Yeah, there were some difficult decisions that are now going to have to be made by Ryan Poles. And I just, the undertaking, I heard an interview with Poles ahead of the game. The undertaking it must be to not only have to scout your own team, right, and figure it out, but now you also have to be watching all the other teams because they also are going to make cuts and they're also going to have difficult. So, you know, what we talked quick, one man's trash, another man's trash. So trying to keep track of all of that.
Yep.
I mean, every team has about 90 some odd guys on it right now. So to keep track of all of that is a lot. It's like another, because this cut is the way it's done. Three? It used to be three cuts?
Three different times in a typical preseason. You would have phases.
Right. And so guys would be trained. I mean, sometimes a guy would be on three different teams in the course of 3 weeks.
And now it is due next Tuesday.
It's like preparing for a whole nother draft.
But it's better that way because
I don't disagree, but I'm just saying it's got to be a huge undertaking.
It does, and it will be a long weekend. That's why I think that we'll start the process probably today. You might hear some guys today. We'll talk to Bigsy about that. And Dan, I think you'll start to see some movement because 37 guys getting cut on every team. You got 32 teams. You do the math. That's a lot of players on the street.
Now, is that? Do you think they start today to give a guy a chance, a head start to land somewhere else?
I think the professional courtesy might be extended to a lot of guys. Yeah, I think there's. It's also could be strategic. You want to shed your roster so you can start maybe adding it. The good news for the Bears this year is that there aren't going to be as many holes to fill. There are not going to be as many things that you need. After you look at your own roster, Ryan Poles is right. This is going to be a difficult roster to make. And I think we saw some of that last night in the kind of competition that exists at some of these positions that are still unsettled.
I mean, some people might have rolled their eyes at that, right, when he first said that. But he was absolutely right.
I think he was absolutely right.
I mean, this team has made a quantum leap as far as depth goes in one or two off seasons.
Good segue, because I want to start there. The lot of little bullet points I want to get through, a lot of little impressions that were made by guys who may not seem to matter much now, but when Ryan Poles says how difficult this roster will be to make, he's talking about these guys. Let's start with Velus Jones. Velus Jones gets a lot of attention in Chicago for things he hasn't done, for errors he has committed. He muffed a fumble. I think that was his rookie year. He lost confidence from the coaching staff. Maybe not in himself. Maybe some in himself. He's miscast as a wide receiver. He's a specialist. Face it. Somebody out there, texters will probably let us know if I'm wrong. Somebody out there watched Velus Jones last night cut back. Cut back in that 39-yard touchdown run. And some point during his 13 carries to get 111 yards. Somebody looked at him and said, he looks a lot like Cordarrelle Patterson. He looks a lot like Cordarrelle Patterson.
Interesting. That's interesting.
He's explosive when he cuts back. He's good in the open field. I'm not telling you he can catch a punt to save his life. I don't know if he can still. He's not going to be put in that position. I think he made himself much more difficult to cut last night. And I've been saying it all week, and I understand why guys are saying, Velus Jones can't play football.
Mm. I'm coming your way, David, on that one.
I'm just saying.
I'm coming that way.
You can't coach speed. It's hard to defend explosiveness. Velus Jones has both speed and explosiveness. You saw it last night in a glimpse. And Flusie postgame wasn't as quick to like, Velus still has work to do. No. He was like, he maybe made an impression that I think you could see why they moved him to running back and why he may have made this roster last night. So that was the first, I think, biggest takeaway. Here's what he said about Velus Jones.
Some really good performances by a couple guys. You know, Velus Jones obviously had a couple nice breakout runs, but he doesn't do that without his offensive line, and the perimeter blocking. Obviously, Velus is very fast and didn't be able to, turn it into a touchdown, but did a great job with that.
Great job with that. So Velus Jones, I think, had as good of a night as he could have hoped. Wasn't meaningless game for him. nor was it for Tyson Bagent. Tyson Bagent showed you how valuable he is to this team, or I think that Tyson Bagent's performance reminded you of how much he's valued by this team simply by the fact that he played two series.
I thought that was wild. I was shocked by that. But you're right. That's what it's like. They needed to come out of that game 100% healthy with guys that might be called upon. Hopefully not, right? You're hoping, as a Bears fan, you never see Tyson Bagent.
You don't want to see him again this year.
Right, not again.
You're going to see him again this year.
But
you're going to see him again. Chances are attrition's going to hit. You don't want to invent or imagine Caleb Williams' injury. A hip flexor, an ankle sprain, a shoulder issue, whatever it may be. But Tyson Bagent has gone from a year ago playing his way onto the roster as an undrafted free agent from Division II wherever to a guy that you want to limit his snaps so you keep him healthy because he could contribute to a playoff run. That's who he is. And I think you saw last night, look, I know. I reopened the Bagency, and I know I sometimes get carried away. He was competent, and he was efficient, and he was competitive. I also liked the way he was athletic. You know, he was 3 for 6, 57 yards. I liked the one he threw down the field. He bought himself some time. He's good on the move. He's very good on the move. But the touchdown run, diving for the pylon, all I could think about is when he was diving for the pylon, is that guy grinded his face off. That guy grinded his face off in the offseason, and here he is scoring a touchdown because he found a way to get into the end zone in the way that, you know, not every quarterback is that mobile or that aggressive to dive for the pylon, put his body at risk, and score. Touchdown Bears, touchdown Bears. That was a good game for Tyson Bagent. That was a good showing. So I think the Bears have their backup situation pretty – they have to feel pretty good about it at quarterback. Also, Austin Reed and Brett Rypien, they were fine. I don't know how many quarterbacks they keep. We could talk about that later. So the other takeaway was, generally speaking, this defense is a thing. The Bears' defense is a thing again. Carryover from last year exists because I think what you see, even though Montez Sweat and Jalen Johnson and Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, those guys didn't play. Those guys didn't have to. What you saw from the Bears was a mentality. What you saw was a defensive approach that is contagious. The takeaway emphasis is showing in the way that they go after the football. They try to tackle the football. Daniel Hardy was chasing a quarterback out of bounds and trying to swipe down with his big paw and create a fumble. That's when you know these guys are responding to coaching. When you see backup defensive tackles trying to tackle the football in the open field, you also see it in the way that they're catching passes that are they're jumping routes, they're being aggressive. And the Bears secondary had four interceptions this preseason. And then last night, Reddy Steward takes one back, pick six, one of his two interceptions. Get to know that name. Reddy Steward is ready for primetime. You get a pick six, you get two interceptions in any NFL game, no matter what it means. You come from Troy? You come from Troy? He is this year's, I think, Hard Knocks should get in on that. Find out. Tell us who Reddy Steward is on Tuesday night, please.
Great idea, right? Go a little backwards, see if you got any tape laying around that hasn't made the first couple of episodes.
And I want to know.
Introduce us, right? Mm-hmm.
This kid looks like, yeah, I remember going to practice. Remember we were out there, this is like 3 weeks ago. This kid's got good feet. And then someone said, you know, he'll hit you too. He's got good instincts. You talk to somebody around the team, like, oh, this Reddy Steward keeps on popping up on tape. I don't know what they have, but I do know this. The Bears have several defensive backs that look very competent. They have depth galore at that position. I think it's their biggest strength. I think the position group, when you talk about Steward, you talk about last week it was Terrell Smith. You look at guys like Adrian Colbert. Goodness sakes, are you going to see a better deflection than what Adrian Colbert did when it looked like they were beaten? And was it Hardman that got behind the defense, and then Colbert dives and makes a deflection? And so they have defensive backs that are responding to their opportunity. And this overall defensive mentality, I think, is contagious. The Bears will blitz out of the secondary in a way that will create the turnovers and the kind of havoc that Matt Eberflus wants. A little surprised, did you guys think that you typically don't see an NFL team show as many blitz looks as the Bears have in the preseason?
So they were not known as a blitz team in the past.
No.
And now if you look at the preseason, are they doing a 180 and becoming a blitz team? Or is that a smokescreen, like making these defensive coordinators prepare for a blitz and all this stuff that's not going to be there on game one, especially against the Titans, and then they're going to come out with something different that they... I don't know why. Here's the thing. I love the idea of the blitzes. And practice that all you want up at Hallis Hall with 1L. But why would you then show it? Why would you show it off as much and let teams prep
this for is
it?
Why. You know why? That's a great question.
I want you to tell...
This is a great question.
I wouldn't show it, so tell me why.
Because you don't care if they know it's coming.
Really? Okay.
Because your defensive mentality is you're going to know what we're going to do and you can't stop it.
All right. Well, that's bold.
Okay. That's bold because that's kind of my takeaway from this preseason. This Bears defense is bold. It's big. It's bad. It's mean and nasty. And they don't care if you know they're coming. Try to stop them. I don't have to see any other reason why Flusie is coming with the nickel blitz again. In a game that doesn't matter. All the looks. You watch the Bears. Okay, he's coming. You look at this. Oh, wait. They're coming after you. The Chiefs knew it was coming. They couldn't. I don't know if that will continue. I would be surprised if it doesn't. This is the approach they're taking to this season. They're going to create opportunities for themselves and put their offense in the best position possible. I love it because it is bold. It is transparent. And it's like, okay, we're not exactly the most complex defense in the league. We are not going to confuse you necessarily. We're going to do our best to disguise our coverages, but we don't have that many. But we do have players.
But doesn't this also lead into what you said a minute ago about the secondary being so deep and so talented? So when you're doing these kind of blitzes, is because whoever you're not bringing, you trust to be
you
able to lock them down, the team's offense, while you're coming a man short in coverage because you're bringing that extra guy.
That is the point. That is the great point. You can take these chances because you trust your people in a way that you haven't been able to the first two seasons that Eberflus was here. Maybe the second half of last season, but I do think you go into this year, Flusie's had an entire offseason to prepare. We heard from Ryan Poles pregame on Bears Radio, on the Bears Radio Network, talk about how he walks into Matt Eberflus's office and he's devising this and he's devising that. I think Matt Eberflus is excited about this season because of the way that they're going to come after people. We can hear what he has to say when he talks to the midday show at noon. Going to talk to them from Vegas. That'll be fun. Eric Washington is a great compliment, but I do think this defense is going to be as aggressive as we've seen. I love that we got a text from James Fox, our buddy, who is a regular listener. So he points this out so I don't have to, because if I point out that John Hoke is one of the best secondary coaches in the NFL, it sounds like one Ball Stater complimenting another. But John Hoke is one of the best secondary coaches in the NFL. Thank you, James. And you're seeing the results of that. This is a well-coached team. I don't know how many August 23rds of the last several years we've been able to say the Bears are a well-coached team. Watch the way they tackle. Watch the way they tackled in preseason. Go back and if you want to watch that game again, Bears fans, do it. Watch the way they tackle. Watch the way they come after people. They are fundamentally sound. They are fierce. And they are good. This is a good football team. This is a good football team, and that's fun and exciting to consider. Back to the list. Tyler Scott had himself a night. I love the fact that they played him. I love the fact that they gave him an opportunity to feel that success, to experience that and build his own confidence. You didn't see Roma Dunze. You're not going to see Keenan Allen, certainly not DJ Moore. Tyler Scott is your fourth receiver. You're going to need him. Little Scott is what he calls him. Little Scott is out there running deep routes. He can get behind defenses. Caleb Williams found him against the Bengals last Saturday at Soldier Field. I think Tyler Scott can help you win a football game at some point this season. He's going to be a deep threat. I like the fact that he had a good night and took advantage of his opportunity. That was the offense with Tyson Bagent, with Brett Rypien, with Austin Reed running it. Tyler Scott and Velus Jones, I think, made the biggest impressions defensively. There was a lot to like. Micah Baskerville running around. Daniel Hardy, as I said. This team is ready to go in 16 days to begin what could be, let's just say, I don't want to get carried away. What should be a winning season in Chicago? What could be a playoff run for the Bears? This does look like a playoff caliber roster. Parity is what the NFL has always wanted, and I do think that that is what they will have this year. The Bears, you know, we'll talk about it during the pick six. If you do your power rankings, they're right around the middle, but they're not near the bottom. That is progress. This isn't a season you dread. I was at Wrigley yesterday to watch Justin Steele, to see Miguel Amaya go deep, to see the Cubs finally score some runs, and all anybody wants to talk about, fans, other media members, people that I know from Wrigley, people that work there, people that are Cubs-related employees, they want to talk about the Bears. The Bears really going to be any good? What's Caleb really like? Is he going to be that good? Can he be that good? Yes, 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 and yes. This is going to be a fun season. And you got a glimpse of that last night. Not all the news was good. It was a scary moment. Douglas Coleman III sitting, laying there on the field, hushed tones. Adam Amin did a great job pivoting to give that moment the weight it deserved. Adam Amin is so talented. It was a joy to listen to him and Jim Miller do the broadcast during the Bears preseason. And they were talking to Kevin Warren about the stadium project. They pivoted because it was a serious moment. You hope the best for Douglas Coleman III, who was hospitalized. We'll get an update probably from Matt Eberflus if we don't get one sooner when he joins the show, the midday show at noon. Larry Borum going down with an ankle injury is very interesting. 12:25, Matt Eberflus will join the midday show. Excuse me. Larry Borum, the swing tackle for the Bears. Seen him play a lot of football. I'll say it. We've seen him play too much football for the Bears. You never want to see your swing tackle as often as we have seen Larry Borum. I think you'd like to see him swing a little less onto the field. He's got an ankle injury. Here's what's interesting about that. He is set to make $3 million. $3 million as a backup offensive lineman. Does that make him A, more expendable, B, more likely for an injury settlement, C, if he's making that much money, he must be worth keeping? I don't know how bad the injury is. Didn't look good. He got rolled up from behind, and then he realized how bad it was. But keep an eye on that because the Bears don't have great depth at that position. And they certainly can't count on their rookie, Kron Emigadji, yet. The third rounder did not play.
Did not play last night. Did not play. I mean, David, the way this roster sets up right now, I have to believe he ends up on the pup list.
I wonder that. It's a great question for Bigsy, who is doing the roster math. I hope you're wrong, because I think in regard to the Borum injury, that you need the bodies. You need somebody, if you thought he was good enough to draft in the third round, he's good enough to count on during the season. So I hope that you're wrong, but I fear that you're right. I fear that they're going to look at this, and otherwise, why would they not give him some action? He's not going to see any more meaningful action. He's going to be a practice guy. Speaking of draft picks, I don't want to overlook Austin Booker. Did he have a spin move or what? How about that? Chasing down the quarterback, looking like a guy they can count on. Fifth rounder who is a find. Is a find for the Bears. Could make that a very productive draft. I like a lot of what I saw from Austin Booker. And I got to mention this. Austin Booker, you know I'm going to do this. I tweeted this out. Center Grove High School in Indianapolis. Also, Carson Steele, who ran all over the Bears. Did you see that touchdown run, the Chiefs running back last night? He is from the same high school. They were roommates during the preseason. They have the same agent. They share a high school. And also, Steele comes from Chirp Chirp, Ball State. Ball State. So he had a good run. He and Austin Booker were high school teammates. And Carson Steele had a 1,500-yard season at Ball State before he transferred to UCLA. Darn NIL. I know that. Come on. He's a former Ball State Cardinal. Anyway, Austin Booker had himself a good game. I think he put himself in a position to be counted on. And overall, the Bears look ready. The preseason is over. The fun is just beginning. Fun's just getting started here on this show as well. Cubs won. White Sox were off. They get the Tigers in Guaranteed Rate Field over the weekend. The Tigers just move a little bit, 8.1 miles south to, I think, probably give the Sox an opportunity to win a series. The Tigers didn't look very good yesterday. So we got the Sox, we got the Cubs, we got the Bears to talk about. Anything else you want, we will cover in the Pick Six. Oh, yeah, this is week zero. College football starts. Are you excited? I'm excited. Also, Sean King had some very interesting things to say on the station yesterday. We will talk about that. We'll do it all. It's Mully and Haw. Mully is off.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Today, the Pick Six is next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. What Bears player helped himself the most in terms of a positional battle or a roster spot in the preseason finale? Did anybody hurt his chances? And what is the toughest roster decision facing our Bears?
That's the one thing you come out of this wondering. Was there anybody playing for a spot? Was there anybody having to have a good night to keep a job or to win a job? I think that the most obvious choice to me would be Velus Jones. He's a tweener. He's a wide receiver who can't catch, a punt returner that you don't trust, and now he's going to be a running back who's in a hybrid role that could help this team. I think he had the most to gain by a big night, and you know what? He had a big night. 13 carries, 111 yards, and certainly the long touchdown where the cutback and the vision was good. And you look at that, and I, as I said in the opening segment, I do think that there were people out there who saw that play, and their mind went to Cordero Patterson, because that's the comp best-case scenario. You don't know if you're ever going to get that in the return game, but Velus Jones, he looked the part last night. He looked like a guy that could play a hybrid role in this offense. May not be up every week, but I do think he probably played himself onto the roster. I don't think it's between him and Kari Blassingame, who played last night. I was a little surprised to see the fullback in action. We didn't see Nate Davis. We'll get to that later. We didn't see Nate Davis.
I like him even less.
Okay. So I think that you look at Velus Jones is a guy that might have played himself into a role. Did anybody hurt his chances? It's unfortunate, but when you have an injury in the last preseason game, Larry Borum may have hurt his chances to be part of this team early on. I don't know what they're going to do to depending on the severity of his ankle injury. I wish I knew more about that, but that certainly doesn't bode well for his future. He also makes, as we said, $3 million. Defensively, maybe you would have liked to seen a couple more defensive tackles flash, because that is the weakest position group, or arguably one of the biggest concerns about depth. The toughest roster decision facing the Bears right now is, I think, what they're going to do at the defensive end spot, which has Austin Booker, Dominic Robinson, and the claimed player to be named later. They're trying to probably go forward and address their pass rush with guys who were not yet cut and guys who could be future Bears. That, to me, is going to be the one they talk about the most over the weekend.
Well, could you add Hardy to that mix, right? Is he part of that mix? You know, that's where I was going with. I'm in agreement with you, David, on that is the one that I think you got to keep an eye on, is that edge rush, defensive line overall. You know, all good answers. I can't disagree with you with Velus Jones. I'm just not sure, as you and I talked before the show started, was that a, all right, Velus, we're putting you in when we put you in? Because at first he wasn't in, and I think that was curious. So then when he did get in at first, it's like, okay, why is he playing when he is playing? What does that mean? And was that, we trust him, we like him, he's on this roster, or we thank him for his service, now go ahead and put out as much good tape as you can in the fourth quarter of this game? We'll have to wait and see. And I'll just be honest, I mean, I did not know who Reddy Stewart was until last night. No clue. I didn't know. But now you know him, and a guy who can take the ball, you know, takeaways. It's part of the hits principle, right? It's a big part. Everybody loves to get, Coach Wonstedt's in here with you and Mully on Tuesdays, loves takeaways. Every coach on the defensive side of the ball just salivates over takeaways. So if you are a ball hawk, he improved his stock the most. I mean, he's going to be you're not going to put him out tomorrow to be cut, okay? Because somebody will grab him. You're going to try to wait till the last possible second and hope you can hide him somehow, some way on your practice squad.
You talk about a cutthroat league, and guys, I want to go back to Larry Borum. He gets hurt, and like you said, David, a third-round pick in Karan Amagaji has not played much during training camp, but he was a third-round pick. Larry Borum, you can think that he was terrible or not, but over the last couple years, he's been a guy that they feel comfortable when there's an injury playing left and right tackle. So that is not, you can't just go out there and find somebody off the scrap heap where you feel that way about. So how much has Karan Amagaji developed? How good do they feel about him? And that's going to decide whether or not Larry Borum sticks around, even though he had an injury. And as far as somebody that cemented themselves, I look at Daniel Hardy as a guy who either they're going to keep or they're going to have a hard time bringing him back on the practice squad, because if they cut him and try to bring him back on the practice squad, you worry about him being swiped up off of waivers. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, and really the next couple of days or two a week, to see who is cut and who is brought back and who is claimed off waivers.
Don't you think he made the team last week? Daniel Hardy, don't you think he
feels
was
like it
on the team after the Bengals game, and maybe last night he played with a little bit more security? Maybe not, but you look at that defensive line and they do lack numbers and they do value depth. I think that's a good one, though, because he did flash again and he's been obvious all preseason.
And then Austin Booker, not a position battle, but how much does he factor in? I saw him play a little bit in at Kansas last year, especially against Oklahoma, and he flashes every single game. The question is, will we see that at the NFL level in his rookie season when he's out there in likely pass rush situations against starting level NFL tackles?
How would you evaluate?
Yeah, I mean, when you go...
How would you evaluate Tyson Bagent's game Thursday?
his preseason overall? In what ways have you seen the most improvement, and what areas would you like to see him improve? How many quarterbacks will be on this Bears 53-man roster?
Tyson Bagent had the second-best preseason among Bears quarterbacks and only exceeded by Caleb Williams because of what we saw from Caleb Williams that convinced many of us, not all of us, Sean King, that Caleb Williams is ready for the season. Tyson Bagent is too. Tyson Bagent has taken a step in his improvement, his development, and his maturation as an NFL quarterback. I saw that list of best NFL backup quarterbacks around the league yesterday. We talked about it a little bit on FoxSports.com, and they named 20, and Tyson Bagent wasn't one of the 20. That's fine. These lists are what they are. They're conversation pieces. I think the Bears have to feel pretty good about their backup quarterback situation. Tyson Bagent is a guy who is highly coachable. What I like about his fit in this offense is the way they move the pocket. He's an athletic quarterback, and when he's rolling left, he can throw right across his body. That's very hard to do. And when he's rolling right, he's a threat to run the ball, as we saw with that touchdown. So Tyson Bagent is a multiple threat, and he has put himself in a position to be valued so much that the Bears didn't want to get him hurt. This is a young man that has taken advantage of every opportunity in front of him. Now I think the Bears have strength in numbers at the quarterback position. They trust Brett Rypien to be the guy with the experience in the offense, if you want to call it that. Austin Reed is a nice undrafted free agent project maybe to develop. I think they probably keep two on the 53, possibly three. If somebody, we always worry about teams claiming quarterbacks, but every team kind of has quarterbacks like this in the system. I asked a question rhetorically on X last night or Twitter about, well, whether it's a secondary or the wide receivers or the running backs, which position group is the deepest on the Bears? Somebody came back at me and said, hey, what about quarterback? Well, what about quarterback? It's a good question, and it's only a question because Tyson Bagent has taken advantage of this preseason to improve.
He might be the Bears preseason MVP overall, Tyson Bagent. He was special again last night. I mean, you talked about it, the athleticism. Again, this is an undrafted. This is a guy that went to a school that you might not know if you drove through the town that there was actually a football school. Right? I mean, that's how tiny it is as far as the landscape of college football.
It's a speck.
Yeah, I mean, he's a super unknown. He's got a ton of moxie. He's got a ton of athletic ability. And again, I think the perfect role of a backup quarterback is cheap. He's cheap, football terms, right? He had a $25,000 signing bonus when he kind of gyrating in his seat up at Hallis Hall compared to the $22.5 million signing bonus for QB1. And he can get you through a game. He can get, and that's the idea. Can he get you through a game? You know, some quarterbacks that have more pedigree and better lineage and have started more games in the NFL can't necessarily get you through a game without that week of reps. Tyson Bagent can do that for you, and I think that's part of his really valuable part. As far as do they keep three, what's the new rule, David? You know this better than any of us. What's the new rule? Like, the third quarterback doesn't count on the active day roster. Is that what it is?
They
right?
can dress. Yeah,
they emergency dress, guys, but it doesn't count as a dress guy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you have the opportunity to keep ripping, great. I would do that, but I don't know that they have that luxury.
Tyson Bagent has shown that he is a really, really good preseason quarterback. One of the best I've seen, and a guy that is playing his way to being the perfect backup for Caleb Williams, and maybe down the road gets a shot at some point to start if he continues at this trajectory. The one thing that you notice about him and have noticed about him since day one is his confidence. And I remember watching Brock Purdy at Iowa State, his first ever game as a freshman, stepping on the field at Oklahoma State, and you just see that he was not going to be... He had confidence in himself that he was going to win that game that day, and he had that same confidence when he stepped on an NFL field. So I'm not comparing the two, but with Tyson Bagent, he has the ability to throw on the run, and he's the perfect guy that if Caleb Williams goes out, he's the C-plus version of what he can do in that offense.
The one thing I wish we would have seen more of when we talk about the question refers to what would you like to see him improve, obviously it's arm strength. Obviously it's the downfield passing game. He talked about working on that in the offseason to get to the point where he's not questioned or doubted. I wish we would have had more evidence of his downfield passing improvement and the strength of his arm that he says is better. We didn't see it, but I think if you're nitpicking, that's the one thing we didn't see that you would have liked to.
First, I ask questions.
We're at the point in the preseason where everything will be ranked, such as NFL.com's power rankings, listing the Bears 18th overall. Do you think the Bears are in the top half of the league, which would make them a playoff team? What range would you place Matt Eberflus in your ranking of coaches?
Well, I think the Bears are probably closer to the middle than they have been in years, probably since 2020 when they were right in that pile of kind of mediocre teams. And them being debated whether they're 16th or 18th or right around 20, that's improvement for a team that's lost 24 games in the last two seasons. It wasn't that long ago we're talking about the Bears being among the worst in the NFL. Now they're right around the middle. That's improvement. Now they're a team that could flirt with the idea of being 9-8, 10-7, double-digit victories, which seems to me overly, a tad bit overly optimistic, but they've had that kind of preseason. They've got an identity. They've got a culture. They've got a star in the making. All those things are things that give you optimism and hope and realistic expectations that they're going to be more competitive. That puts them between 16 and 18. I like that. No problem there. Matt Eberflus, I think that he's escaped the bottom. He's not among the five worst NFL coaches. I think you see the way he connects with his players. I think you see the way that he helps himself be a smarter head coach or look that way because he's an aggressive play caller as a defensive coordinator. I also think that Hard Knocks has helped Matt Eberflus's image. Now, Matt Eberflus has helped Matt Eberflus's image. He's handled himself much more professionally. He comes across a lot more clearly. The message is cleaner and simpler and stronger this offseason, this preseason. That's a credit to him. But when you have a 60-minute infomercial on the strength of your organization and you are the co-star in that show, Hard Knocks, that's helped Flusie look like, if he were a candidate, we'd say he's more presidential. But so far, he's looked like a very good, competent NFL head coach.
Yeah, I mean, we all love a good list. I think that's about right for the Bears, right? Kind of smack dab in the middle. I'm looking at a CBS Sports head coach rankings. This was done towards the end of July. Not real good for Matt Eberflus. 26th. Right behind him at 27th was Jonathan Gannon of the Cardinals. Right in front of him, Mike McDonald of the Seahawks. I know you like that guy, David, but what has he done yet, right? I mean, because he's got some Ravens stink on him. He's ahead of Eberflus. This is the one that I can't believe. 24, the Panthers head coach. I don't think if you reside outside of the NFC South.
Canales?
Can you? Well, you know that.
Not Lou.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah, I mean, who? What? How is that guy?
See, I think that's an interesting list. But do it again after Hard Knocks.
Right.
It's like taking a poll before a convention. All right? Let's see what the polls say this morning. Because you're going to get the Hard Knocks bounce if you're Flusie.
Yeah, that preseason poll, this guy's got an issue with that preseason poll.
I have good news for Matt Eberflus. He's now in the top 25. He was 26. Now I can confidently say he is in the top 25 of coaches.
Like Iowa.
Somehow.
Under consideration.
And also the same question. How's the offense going to look? Defensive-minded head coach. Great defensive play caller.
Yep.
I think that when we get back to the defensive talk about how they blitzed in the preseason, is that a wrinkle with Eric Washington calling the plays in the preseason? And will that transfer over? And will that mesh into when Flusie is calling the defense? But either way, we know that he's good on that side of the ball. But as far as the Bears, they're right where they need to be. just below, right around the middle, just below that halfway point with the opportunity to prove themselves. And I say it all the time with this team. I'll say it again. I'll believe it when I see it. And they have the opportunity week one against Tennessee to show something.
In answer to your question,
how do we feel about the Cubs after they routed the Tigers to win the series? Justin Steele looked like an ace again. Is it enough for them to win the Marlins series, or do they need to do that sweep thing?
Well, if we're going to come in here Monday morning and talk about the wild card spot and what they need to do, you know, it'll be August 26th. Time's running out. They need a sweep. They need to sweep the Marlins. The Marlins are not having a good year. They're a disappointing team in the National League. Take advantage. And Cubs, you go in with a little momentum. You keep winning series, but you need to sweep one at some point. You need to rip off six in a row, 8 out of 10, whatever the case may be. Yesterday, you felt very good about the Cubs. The bottom of the batting order came through. Amaya went deep. He had to. I mean, Christian Bethencourt is hitting a ton. Amaya maybe felt the pressure. Justin Steele looked like an ace. They took care of business. It will only mean something if they go down to Florida and take care of business, too. And that would mean sweep. Win the series, okay, you're treading water. You need to do more than that.
Absolutely. Must be a sweep. Can't wait if they do sweep on Monday to be here during this segment. I did predict a sweep on the Fly the W670 podcast. My guy Crowley predicted 2 out of 3. But they've got a sweep. And again, this team has not earned the right for you to get excited about, well, what if they made the third wild card? What could they do? Okay, let's just be relevant. Let the Cubs be relevant for another couple of weeks at least. You know, I think Bruce laid it out really well the other day, and Bruce will be here at 9:25. I think, David, he said they had to go 11-4, over the 15 games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, but right now they're 2-1 in that 15.
Okay.
So this is where you got to come out of this one 5-1 to have a real shot at it. These games against the Pirates, okay, they've got games against the Pirates coming up, 6 of them. Those are going to be like mini playoff games, because that's the team that's right behind them, right around them. They're going to really need to take care of business and put them in the rearview mirror, because they've already got too many teams they've got to pass up.
It's going to be a sweep on the sweep. This has to be a three-game sweep for the Cubs, because they need to get over 500. The final team in the playoffs is the Atlanta Braves at 9 games over .500. The Cubs so far this season have been maddeningly mediocre and sit 2 games under .500, 5.5 games out of that spot, and it has been that way for seemingly the last 2 months. So until they get that momentum and show that they can get on any type of a run like they did towards July and August of last year, I think that nobody's going to take them seriously as a playoff contender.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All right, the Tigers, they're staying in town. They're going to play the White Sox. So how many games of the weekend series will the Sox win? What's the biggest reason you'll watch the Sox if you can find one?
Sox are going to eke out one. The Tigers are sleepwalking to the finish. I think that they do they have any more bullpen games in them? I don't know. I mean, I know they came into town with a similar record from the Cubs, but that looks like a team that is going to feel like by the time they wake up tomorrow morning, they've been in Chicago a long time. I think they probably still take 2 out of 3 from the Sox. The reason to watch is Saturday, Kai Bush against Skubal, the Tigers' presumptive AL Cy Young Award candidate, and he could be the winner. So that is the best game of the three. The Sox will lose 2 of those 3 games. Watch anyway.
Yeah, I'll try to watch. That's a good reason. You gave a good reason there. Wasn't A.J. Hinch part of the Sox potential managerial candidates a long, long time ago?
He's the one that got away, apparently.
Right? Yeah. So he's doing a pretty good job making chicken salad. Is that something that interests you? Because there were people, you know, you can't bring the cheater in. He doesn't deserve a shot. Mm-hmm. Tigers gave him a shot. He's doing a good job. And one of his coaches, I don't know if it's his bench coach, but definitely a coach, is a former coach with the White Sox. Did you notice that over at Wrigley? Joey Cora holding up like numbers. I've never seen that before. They hold up like a 3 and then they hold up like a two. It's like supposedly their defensive positioning. So maybe that's something Sox
has. Ozzie's guy.
Is Joey Cora. Could Joey Cora, a guy in uniform in the division, be a candidate to be the next White Sox skipper?
I'm going to say that, like you, David, the Sox will win one game, but why are we watching right now? To see if they can avoid history in a bad way. Can they get over the 40-win mark? Can they get over the 43-win mark? The time is running out. The clock is ticking. And right now, to me, that's kind of all that there is to watch with this team.
Not answering your questions.
All right, Florida State plays Georgia Tech to open college football season Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. kick. Is it too early for college football to be on your radar? Will you watch? What are you looking forward to the most this college football season?
Of course I'm going to watch. No, it's not too early. I love college football. I could talk college football every week of every month of every year. So we get started for real Saturday morning. It won't be Saturday morning in Dublin, but that's where they'll play. Florida State, it's put-up time, so they can shut up. After 63-3 getting beat and blown out by Georgia in the bowl game after crying about being left out of the playoff last year, it's put-up time. They've got, okay, let's look at this quarterback, who is the epitome of what college football has become. DJ Uiagalelei. He has gone from Clemson to Oregon to Florida State. This is your modern-day NIL quarterback who can transfer and use the portal to his advantage. You'll see what he's got. I think that their offensive line has got a collective 345 starts. That's a lot of experience. I think they rout Georgia Tech. I think they come back to America 1-0, and Mike Norvell can talk about how good they're going to be up until they get left out of the playoff again.
Well, speaking of that playoff, David, that's why I think this game is very watchable, not only because it's going to be in Ireland, so the pictures should be great, somewhere that I would love to go at some point in time. But this is also a team that's ranked preseason number 10. My favorite team, and one of your favorite teams, is ranked number 7. That's Notre Dame. Notre Dame and Florida State play on November the 9th in South Bend, and that could be kind of a pseudo playoff game for that last spot in the playoff, potentially, right? Like the winner of that game, assuming their seasons are going the way two top 10 teams, the winner of that game is going to be in the playoff. So I think that game is really circled. So I'm interested in this game, kind of scouting FSU at this point, because Notre Dame has a big opener a week from now, and that they're taking on a top 20 team in Texas A&M, and that one's on the road, never easy to play at College Station.
True.
I'm looking at, first of all, absolutely I'm going to watch. And David, we can nerd out on college football all day if you'd like. But it's the quarterbacks in new places. You mentioned DJU at Florida State, and you mentioned Notre Dame. How is the Duke transfer Riley Leonard going to look? How's he going to look in a new system? And
better than Sam Hartman.
Yeah, that is true. Dylan Gabriel at Oregon.
Ooh.
Another really intriguing transfer.
And Heisman Trophy candidate.
Everybody is poo-pooing this quarterback class as far as the NFL draft. Can Carson Beck from Georgia prove that he's a potential number one pick? Quinn Ewers at Texas. What does he look like? And yes, the group of five getting a spot in the college football playoff for the first time. Will it be a team like Boise State with Malachi Nelson, the USC transfer, and their outstanding running back, Ashton Jonte, or my Memphis Tigers, or possibly the Liberty Flames once again? So I am stoked for this college football season. It's going to be a historic one.
He's Alex Kuhn along with Dustin Rhodes. That was the pick six. A lot of fun going through all the things. The extra point is next. Did you hear what Sean King had to say about Caleb Williams on The Score yesterday? We'll play that next, and we will react to it on the Mullin Haw Show, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullin Haw on 670 The Score.
How do you feel about what ex-NFL QB Sean King told the Midday Show yesterday about Caleb Williams that was less than enthusiastic?
I think he struggles. He struggles really, really badly with that first concept that I'm looking to see. But he excels at the elite trait part. Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent.
Your reaction to what you heard there from Sean King?
Well, I think you have to respect Sean King because of his past as an NFL quarterback, and you give him the benefit of the doubt because everybody's going to come into this with their own perspectives and backgrounds that frame their opinions. Your experiences frame your opinions. So I think that we can't just dismiss it. That said, I don't know anybody else that I've heard that has used this language this strongly to say that Caleb Williams has struggled really, really badly. I haven't seen it. I didn't play quarterback in the NFL. Not going to pretend to be somebody as experienced as Sean King, but I haven't seen anything that Caleb Williams has done that would qualify as struggling really, really badly. I think he has been really, really good. And at times, really, really exciting and explosive. What you see, to me, objectively, trying not to be the guy that was on Caleb Williams a year ago at this time, objectively, what you have seen from Caleb Williams is a preseason full of positives that outweigh the negatives. What you have seen is enough evidence to suggest that he is a capable, competent rookie starting quarterback. What you have seen is a guy that is in command of his faculties and has a poise and a presence that suggests that he's going to be a pocket passer you trust, who will be able to throw in time on time, and isn't going to make those mistakes once the games start to matter. And he's throwing to receivers who are a future Hall of Famer, a Pro Bowl caliber, and an explosive rookie. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze are going to make Caleb Williams' ascent quicker, his transition faster, and I think the overall product more polished. I don't agree with Sean King. That doesn't mean I disqualify his opinion or dismiss it at all, but I don't see what he's seeing.
Well, I think it gives you pause. I think it makes you tap the brakes a little bit. His preseason game at home against the Bengals was against the Bengals' second and third string people. I didn't get a chance to. I had like a really busy day yesterday, a lot of running around. I want to go back now, tomorrow, later today, maybe Saturday or Sunday when I'm the only one up in the house. Got the DVR with that game against the Bengals recorded. I want to go back and rewatch those three and outs. We talked about the communication issue with the helmet, but you know, I think what he's saying is that if I'm understanding him right, and there's more to hear. Hopefully, you're going to stay with us. There's more to hear from Sean King. Is it the 1-2-3 throw? That's what we're not seeing. We're not seeing this is the play that's caught. They're not executing the plays, but his athletic ability is, I don't know what that means.
43 snaps is what I'm saying for those on Twitch. I held up 43, not 43 fingers.
I thought it was like the four horsemen.
4-3. 43 snaps. You can't do everything in preseason.
Well, right. No, I agree with it. All what you're going to hear more from, it's just he's not anti him. He's a fan of Caleb Williams. Well, there's more to hear. David's, you know, Dan Bernstein, I'm a pretty good eye roller. Dan Bernstein had an epic eye roll yesterday. I was watching the afternoon show, the midday show out at Circa. And when Sean gave his first answer, I mean, Dan almost fell off his chair. It was hilarious. There's more to hear. It's just because there's only been 43 snaps. And David, yesterday, I fell for it. He's the best quarterback in the NFC over the next 3 years. And he hasn't taken a snap in the NFL. He's only taken 43 snaps in preseason
football. It's a defensible position, too.
I know what he's trying to say, and I think he's overstating it. I think he's being a little bit too dramatic about it. But what he is saying, and he later compares him to Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll get to that. But he's saying that he's a very talented player, and his biggest strength is throwing on the run and making plays outside the pocket, which is true. And he's saying the biggest part of his game that he needs to work on is 1-2-3 out, like we're talking about. And I put out a question on Twitter that got a lot of traction the other day, and I asked, if Caleb Williams has a career similar to what Russell Wilson has had, will people be disappointed? Because I'm trying to get a gauge on what are the expectations for this kid. And a lot of people said, oh, they'll build a statue if he wins a Super Bowl and makes it to that many Pro Bowls. The other reason I asked about that is because in 2011, Russell's rookie year in Seattle, he threw for 3,100 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. And you knew at that point that there was something brewing here. But the thing about that year is it was a lot of fourth quarter late comebacks where you saw his offensive coordinator not wanting to put too much on him. Are we going to see some of that at times with Caleb Williams, where the defense is having a good game, being able to run the ball? Can he get the ball out on time to his playmakers? I think he will, but that is the biggest question remaining about him as a rookie.
Those are excellent points, Alex Kuhn. I didn't make the Russell Wilson comp. I'm very curious to see what people might think about that. We will hear more from Sean King. I want to hear a little bit more about what he had to say on the Bernstein and Holmes show. Oh, speaking of them, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi, they will be broadcasting live from Circa Resort and Casino in Vegas coming up at 10 for the ultimate contest weekend ahead for the football season. If you want to experience Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information. Also, they're going to be joined at 12:25 by Matt Eberflus. You don't want to miss that. And you don't want to miss what else Sean King had to say. What do you think, people? 312-644-6767. Is Caleb Williams a guy who has struggled really, really badly at times this preseason? Or is he a guy that's going to be really, really good? It's a Mully and Haw show. Mully off today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Straight.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today. That was the voice of Sean King, former NFL quarterback, on the midday show on Thursday, telling us what he didn't like about Caleb Williams being spectacular, not playing within the confines of the offense. I guess he's not a big enough game manager. I have many thoughts on that, but let's get to your thoughts first. 312-644-6767, The Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We will hear more from Sean King at the top of the hour as we build a bridge toward big time at 725. Let's go to the phone lines now and begin the conversation with Andy, who's on the Odyssey app and was at the Bears game last night in Kansas City. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, it was a terrific time. Look, I get it. I understand that we're not seeing the first stringers and all of that, but these are still guys fighting for jobs, and they still keep score. And I took my family last year to probably the worst Bears game of the season at Arrowhead when they got blown out. And just a little context, so I'm a TV news reporter here in Kansas City, so that two-week down period before the Super Bowl, the last couple of years, our news coverage is things like Chiefs-decorated cupcakes and where Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are going to dinner and cows wearing Patrick Mahomes headbands. So winning this game last night felt really, really great. And my son started that Green Bay sucks chant that turned out to be very audible when there was pretty much nothing but Bears fans left at the end, which was fairly remarkable for a Thursday night game in Kansas City. So I thought the guys looked really good. It was a lot of fun. I am headed to the gym proudly wearing my number 18 Caleb Williams jersey. So I'm winning a lot of friends here in town, I'm sure. But you know what? I don't care. You know, as they say, you can take the guy out of Chicago, but you can't take Chicago out of the guy. Go Bears.
Thanks, Andy. Looker. That's a good dad right there. It's a good dad. His kid started leading the Green Bay sucks chant. at the Bears-Chiefs game. Andy, local TV reporter in Kansas City, breaking news. Bears are going to be good. Bears are going to be good this year. Better than they were last year. Win more than they lose. How good? That's what the fun is of the season. But I think this preseason, the first unbeaten preseason in 30 years, doesn't mean anything record-wise. But they do look the part of a competent football team. Let's go to Chris, who is downstate. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to Mullion Haw.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of thoughts. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. You know, I don't see that Caleb Williams is doing anything that Justin Fields didn't do, and I still remember the day when you guys came on and said, we have QB1 and
Chris,
Fields
are you being serious? I am interrupting you. I'm sorry. Are you being serious? Because I don't want to engage
I'm actually being serious because you guys, I want to see what Williams does when he has a bad game and the media starts giving him a hard time, such as the Notre Dame game. And yes, I do believe that Williams hasn't done anything that Fields has done to this point. So that's my point. I want to see what Williams does once he has some adversity.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. He will definitely have some adversity. That's a guarantee. His helmet might not work. You'll have to adjust. And what will he do then? Oh, goodness. I think he'll throw a 45-yard completion against his body on the run. Yeah, last week didn't count as adversity. I don't think that this is a quarterback that you're going to be comparing to Justin Fields for very much longer. The only reason you're doing it now is because successor and predecessor typically do get compared, but those are going to be invalid very fast if they're not already.
Aren't they already?
They are already. Thank
you,
Alex.
Well, just in the style.
Like, with due respect to Chris, who called and he was on hold, and we appreciate the interaction and the engagement from listeners, but there is no comparison. There's no comparison. What Caleb Williams has shown, with due respect to Sean King, what Caleb Williams has shown is a natural ability to throw the football wherever he wants. The arm talent is obvious. And the arm talent, frankly, makes any comparison to his predecessor kind of silly. Kind of silly. If you want to compare their ability to provide explosive plays when things break down, okay. The difference being that Justin Fields bought himself time to run the football. Caleb Williams buys himself time to throw it. You know why? Because he can put it wherever he wants. And he has a track record in his football career from high school where he wasn't nervous to Oklahoma, to USC, and now to Chicago in the NFL. So we will continue to take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We will hear more from Sean King because I think in full context, you want to consider what he was saying, maybe why he said it, and to give you I want to be fair here. We are still objective. Are we pro Caleb Williams? Absolutely. Absolutely. I know what I'm watching, people. I know football. In Chicago, you know football. You know greatness when you see it. I've seen greatness. He hasn't thrown a regular season pass yet. Okay, I get it. But he's going to be a great one. That's just some talk show host talking in a studio on a Friday morning trying to alienate people who are trying to tell me something else. This is a consensus opinion based on professionals who do this for a living in the game, in the NFL. So you don't have to agree, but it is a point worth considering, and we'll talk about it all next. By the way, Dustin Rose just paid off his bet. Never let it be said that Dustin Rose does not pay off a bet. Nate Davis didn't play last night. I bet Dustin that he wouldn't. Dustin was sure that he would, and the coffee smells wonderful. It is piping hot, and Dustin paid for it because he lost and paid off. Thank you, Dustin. And we come back.
Matt Eberflus, part of that.
Okay. It's the Mully and Haw Show. Mully is off today. We'll hear from Sean King when we come back on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
670 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
How do you feel about what ex-NFL QB Sean King told the Midday Show yesterday about Caleb Williams that was less than enthusiastic?
I think he struggles. He struggles really, really badly with that first concept that I'm looking to see, but he excels at the elite trait part. Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent.
Your reaction to what you heard there from Sean King?
Well, I think you have to respect Sean King because of his past as an NFL quarterback, and you give him the benefit of the doubt because everybody's going to come into this with their own perspectives and backgrounds that frame their opinions. Your experiences frame your opinions. So I think that we can't just dismiss it. That said, I don't know anybody else that I've heard that has used this language this strongly to say that Caleb Williams has struggled really, really badly. I haven't seen it. I didn't play quarterback in the NFL. Not going to pretend to be somebody as experienced as Sean King, but I haven't seen anything that Caleb Williams has done that would qualify as struggling really, really badly. I think he has been really, really good and at times really, really exciting and explosive. What you see to me objectively, trying not to be the guy that was on Caleb Williams a year ago at this time, objectively, what you have seen from Caleb Williams is a preseason full of positives that outweigh the negatives. What you have seen is enough evidence to suggest that he is a capable, competent rookie starting quarterback. What you have seen is a guy that is in command of his faculties and has a poise and a presence that suggests that he's going to be a pocket passer you trust, who will be able to throw in time on time and isn't going to make those mistakes once the games start to matter. And he's throwing to receivers who are a future Hall of Famer, a Pro Bowl caliber, and an explosive rookie. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze are going to make Caleb Williams' ascent quicker, his transition faster, and I think the overall product more polished. I don't agree with Sean King. That doesn't mean I disqualify his opinion or dismiss it at all, but I don't see what he's seeing.
Well, I think it gives you pause. I think it makes you tap the brakes a little bit. His preseason game at home against the Bengals was against the Bengals' second and third string people. I didn't get a chance to. I had like really busy day yesterday. A lot of running around. I want to go back now, tomorrow, later today, maybe Saturday or Sunday when I'm the only one up in the house. Got the DVR with that game against the Bengals recorded. I want to go back and rewatch those three and outs. We talked about the communication issue with the helmet, but you know, I think what he's saying is that if I'm understanding him right, and there's more to hear, hopefully you're going to stay with us, there's more to hear from Sean King. Is it the 1-2-3 throw? That's what we're not seeing. We're not seeing this is the play that's caught. They're not executing the plays, but his athletic ability is, I don't know what that means.
43 snaps. Is what I'm saying for those on Twitch. I held up 43 fingers.
I thought it was like the four horsemen.
Four and a three. 43 snaps. You can't do everything in preseason.
Well, right. No, I agree with it. All what you're going to hear more from, it's just he's not anti him. He's a fan of Caleb Williams. Well, there's more to hear. David's, Dan Bernstein, I'm a pretty good eye roller. Dan Bernstein had an epic eye roll yesterday. I was watching the afternoon show, the midday show out at Circa. And when Sean gave his first answer, I mean, Dan almost fell off his chair. It was hilarious. There's more to hear. It's just because there's only been 43 snaps. And David, yesterday, I fell for it. He's the best quarterback in the NFC over the next 3 years. And he hasn't taken a snap in the NFL. He's only taken 43 snaps in preseason
football. It's a defensible position, too.
I know what he's trying to say, and I think he's overstating it. I think he's being a little bit too dramatic about it. But what he is saying, and he later compares him to Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll get to that. But he's saying that he's a very talented player, and his biggest strength is throwing on the run. And making plays outside the pocket, which is true. And he's saying the biggest part of his game that he needs to work on is 1-2-3 out, like we're talking about. And I put out a question on Twitter that got a lot of traction the other day, and I asked, if Caleb Williams has a career similar to what Russell Wilson has had, will people be disappointed? Because I'm trying to get a gauge on what are the expectations for this kid. And a lot of people said, oh, they'll build a statue if he wins a Super Bowl and makes it to that many Pro Bowls. The other reason I asked about that is because in 2011, Russell's rookie year in Seattle, he threw for 3,100 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. And you knew at that point that there was something brewing here. But the thing about that year is it was a lot of fourth quarter late comebacks where you saw his offensive coordinator not wanting to put too much on him. Are we going to see some of that at times with Caleb Williams, where the defense is having a good game, being able to run the ball? Can he get the ball out on time to his playmakers? I think he will, but that is the biggest question remaining about him as a rookie.
Those are excellent points, Alex Kuhn. I didn't make the Russell Wilson comp. I'm very curious to see what people might think about that. We will hear more from Sean King. I want to hear a little bit more about what he had to say on the Bernstein and Holmes show. Oh, speaking of them, Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi, they will be broadcasting live from Circa Resort and Casino in Vegas coming up at 10 for the ultimate contest weekend ahead for the football season. If you want to experience Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information. Also, they're going to be joined at 12:25 by Matt Eberflus. You don't want to miss that. And you don't want to miss what else Sean King had to say. What do you think, people? 312-644-6767. Is Caleb Williams a guy who has struggled really, really badly at times this preseason? Or is he a guy that's going to be really, really good? It's a Mully and Haw show. Mully off today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Straight.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today. That was the voice of Sean King, former NFL quarterback, on the midday show on Thursday, telling us what he didn't like about Caleb Williams being spectacular, not playing within the confines of the offense. I guess he's not a big enough game manager. I have many thoughts on that, but let's get to your thoughts first. 312-644-6767, The Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We will hear more from Sean King at the top of the hour as we build a bridge toward big time at 725. Let's go to the phone lines now and begin the conversation with Andy, who's on the Odyssey app and was at the Bears game last night in Kansas City. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, it was a terrific time. Look, I get it. I understand that we're not seeing the first stringers and all of that, but these are still guys fighting for jobs, and
They still keep score. And I took my family last year to probably the worst Bears game of the season at Arrowhead when they got blown out. And just a little context. So I'm a TV news reporter here in Kansas City. So that two-week down period before the Super Bowl, the last couple of years, our news coverage is things like Chiefs-decorated cupcakes and where Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are going to dinner and Kyle's wearing Patrick Mahomes headbands. So winning this game last night felt really, really great. And my son started that Green Bay sucks chant that turned out to be very audible when there was pretty much nothing but Bears fans left at the end, which was fairly remarkable for a Thursday night game in Kansas City. So I thought the guys looked really good. It was a lot of fun. I am headed to the gym proudly wearing my number 18 Caleb Williams jersey. So I'm winning a lot of friends here in town, I'm sure. But you know what? I don't care. You know, as they say, you can take the guy out of Chicago, but you can't take Chicago out of the guy. Go Bears.
Thanks, Andy. Looker. That's a good dad right there. It's a good dad. His kid started leading the Green Bay sucks chant at the Bears Chiefs game. Andy, local TV reporter in Kansas City, breaking news. Bears are going to be good. Bears are going to be good this year. Better than they were last year. Win more than they lose. How good? That's what the fun is of the season. But I think this preseason, the first unbeaten preseason in 30 years, doesn't mean anything record-wise. But they do look the part of a competent football team. Let's go to Chris, who is downstate. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to Mullion Haw.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of thoughts. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I don't see that Caleb Williams is doing anything that Justin Fields didn't do. And I still remember the day when you guys came on and said, we have QB1. And
Chris,
Fields
are you being serious? I am interrupting you. I'm sorry. Are you being serious? Because I don't want to engage in
I'm actually being serious because okay. You guys, I want to see what Williams does when he has a bad game and the media starts giving him a hard time, such as the Notre Dame game. And yes, I do believe that Williams hasn't done anything that Fields has done to this point. So that's my point. I want to see what Williams does once he has some adversity.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. He will definitely have some adversity. That's a guarantee. His helmet might not work. You'll have to adjust. And what will he do then? Oh, goodness. I think he'll throw a 45-yard completion against his body on the run. Yeah, last week didn't count as adversity. I don't think that this is a quarterback that you're going to be comparing to Justin Fields for very much longer. The only reason you're doing it now is because successor and predecessor typically do get compared, but those are going to be invalid very fast if they're not already.
Aren't they already?
They are already. Thank
you,
Alex.
Well, just in the style.
Like, with due respect to Chris, who called and he was on hold, and we appreciate the interaction and the engagement from listeners, but there is no comparison. There's no comparison. What Caleb Williams has shown, with due respect to Sean King, what Caleb Williams has shown is a natural ability to throw the football wherever he wants. The arm talent is obvious. And the arm talent, frankly, makes any comparison to his predecessor kind of silly. Kind of silly. If you want to compare their ability to provide explosive plays when things break down, okay. The difference being that Justin Fields bought himself time to run the football. Caleb Williams buys himself time to throw it. You know why? Because he can put it wherever he wants. And he has a track record in his football career from high school where he wasn't nervous to Oklahoma to USC and now to Chicago in the NFL. So we will continue to take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We will hear more from Sean King because I think in full context, you want to consider what he was saying, maybe why he said it, and to give you a – I want to be fair here. We are still objective. Are we pro Caleb Williams? Absolutely. Absolutely. I know what I'm watching, people. I know football. In Chicago, you know football. You know greatness when you see it. I've seen greatness. He hasn't thrown a regular season pass yet. Okay, I get it. But he's going to be a great one. That's just some talk show host talking in a studio on a Friday morning trying to alienate people who are trying to tell me something else. This is a consensus opinion based on professionals who do this for a living in the game, in the NFL. So you don't have to agree, but it is a point worth considering. And we'll talk about it all next. By the way, Dustin Rose just paid off his bet. Never let it be said that Dustin Rose does not pay off a bet. Nate Davis didn't play last night. I bet Dustin that he wouldn't. Dustin was sure that he would. And the coffee smells wonderful. It is piping hot. And Dustin paid for it because he lost and paid off. Thank you, Dustin. And we come back.
Matt Eberflus, part of that.
Okay. It's the Mully and Haw Show. Mully is off today. We'll hear from Sean King when we come back on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today. That was the voice of Sean King, former NFL quarterback, on the midday show on Thursday, telling us what he didn't like about Caleb Williams being spectacular, not playing within the confines of the offense. I guess he's not a big enough game manager. I have many thoughts on that, but let's get to your thoughts first. 312-644-6767, The Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We will hear more from Sean King at the top of the hour as we build a bridge toward big time at 725. Let's go to the phone lines now and begin the conversation with Andy, who's on the Odyssey app and was at the Bears game last night in Kansas City. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, it was a terrific time. Look, I get it. I understand that we're not seeing the first stringers and all of that, but these are still guys fighting for jobs, and they still keep score. And I took my family last year to probably the worst Bears game of the season at Arrowhead when they got blown out. And just a little context, so I'm a TV news reporter here in Kansas City, so that two-week down period before the Super Bowl, the last couple of years, our news coverage is things like Chiefs-decorated cupcakes and where Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are going to dinner and cows wearing Patrick Mahomes headbands. So winning this game last night felt really, really great. And my son started that Green Bay sucks chant that turned out to be very audible when there was pretty much nothing but Bears fans left at the end, which was fairly remarkable for a Thursday night game in Kansas City. So I thought the guys looked really good. It was a lot of fun. I am headed to the gym proudly wearing my number 18 Caleb Williams jersey. So I'm winning a lot of friends here in town, I'm sure. But you know what? I don't care. You know, as they say, you can take the guy out of Chicago, but you can't take Chicago out of the guy. Go Bears.
Thanks, Andy. Local. That's a good dad right there. It's a good dad. His kid started leading the Green Bay sucks chant. at the Bears-Chiefs game. Andy, local TV reporter in Kansas City, breaking news. Bears are going to be good. Bears are going to be good this year. Better than they were last year. Win more than they lose. How good? That's what the fun is of the season. But I think this preseason, the first unbeaten preseason in 30 years, doesn't mean anything record-wise. But they do look the part of a competent football team. Let's go to Chris, who is downstate. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to Mullion Haw.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of thoughts. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. You know, I don't see that Caleb Williams is doing anything that Justin Fields didn't do. And I still remember the day when you guys came on and said, we have QB1. And
Chris,
Fields
are you being serious? I am interrupting you. I'm sorry. Are you being serious? Because I don't want to engage in that.
I am actually being serious because, okay, you guys, I want to see what Williams does when he has a bad game and the media starts giving him a hard time, such as the Notre Dame game. And yes, I do believe that Williams hasn't done anything that Fields has done to this point. So that's my point. I want to see what Williams does once he has some adversity.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. He will definitely have some adversity. That's a guarantee. His helmet might not work. You'll have to adjust. And what will he do then? Oh, goodness. I think he'll throw a 45-yard completion against his body on the run. Yeah, last week didn't count as adversity. I don't think that this is a quarterback that you're going to be comparing to Justin Fields for very much longer. The only reason you're doing it now is because successor and predecessor typically do get compared, but those are going to be invalid very fast if they're not already.
Aren't they already?
They are already. Thank
you,
Alex.
Well, just in the style.
Like, with due respect to Chris, who called and he was on hold, and we appreciate the interaction and the engagement from listeners. But there is no comparison. There's no comparison. What Caleb Williams has shown, with due respect to Sean King, what Caleb Williams has shown is a natural ability to throw the football wherever he wants. The arm talent is obvious. And the arm talent, frankly, makes any comparison to his predecessor kind of silly. Kind of silly. If you want to compare their ability to provide explosive plays when things break down, okay. The difference being that Justin Fields bought himself time to run the football. Caleb Williams buys himself time to throw it. You know why? Because he can put it wherever he wants. And he has a track record in his football career, from high school where he wasn't nervous, to Oklahoma, to USC, and now to Chicago in the NFL. So we will continue to take your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We will hear more from Sean King, because I think in full context, you want to consider what he was saying, maybe why he said it, and to give you I want to be fair here. We are still objective. Are we pro Caleb Williams? Absolutely. Absolutely. I know what I'm watching, people. I know football. In Chicago, you know football. You know greatness when you see it. I've seen greatness. He hasn't thrown a regular season pass yet. Okay, I get it. But he's going to be a great one. That's just some talk show host talking in a studio on a Friday morning trying to alienate people who are trying to tell me something else. This is a consensus opinion based on professionals who do this for a living in the game, in the NFL. So you don't have to agree, but it is a point worth considering, and we'll talk about it all next. By the way, Dustin Rose just paid off his bet. Never let it be said that Dustin Rose does not pay off a bet. Nate Davis didn't play last night. I bet Dustin that he wouldn't. Dustin was sure that he would, and the coffee smells wonderful. It is piping hot. And Dustin paid for it because he lost and paid off. Thank you, Dustin. And we come back.
Matt Eberflus, part of that.
Okay. It's the Mully and Haw Show. Mully is off today. We'll hear from Sean King when we come back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.